Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John. This is episode 124 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Watch out.
We're back.
We are.
We're going to talk about what we've been playing, because it's 3 weeks now since
the last
one.
Is it what we're playing? We all got rather confused, didn't we, with the Eurogamer and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Righto. Shall I kick off?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. It's let's talk about Warhammer. We're in Tier 3, well and truly now. It's a
huzzah!
Big old push there. Everyone's got mounts. We've got this big sort of carpooling scheme going with the money and the mounts and everything, so... It's very important, as I've found on a number of occasions in the Tier 3 open RVR maps, to have a mount, you see. It's not just a cosmetic, look at me, I'm awesome, I'm on a horse, I'm quite high leveled. No, if you're on foot, they will run you down on horseback and kill you. So it's quite helpful
bit
to be
like,
on...
A bit like Friday night out in Reading
there. Indeed. A bit like most military campaigns everywhere, really. Cavalry is generally superior to infantry.
Oh, we'll discuss that in my what we're playing.
I don't have a very big long stick with a pike on the end, though, so maybe that's the way to go. But no, we all had a whip round, and I got my big chosen on his flaming hell steed thing, so we're all good there. And then I decided I want to be a disciple of Cain from now on as well, which is a confused thing, so I had to buy two horses. So, ironically enough, I was part of a large whip round to get some of the other people some horses, and then my kindness was repaid a week or so later with my ult, because we're down a healer or two. Teppo there is taking a bit of time away, so he was a zealot. So I've had to step in with my disciple of Cain, which was conveniently enough about the right level. But so we're one tank down and one healer down, so I swapped from a tank to a healer. It's all very complicated.
Always better off to have the healer rather than the tank.
Well, this is it. I mean, yeah, measuring the worth of group archetypes, the healer, without the healer, nothing really gets done. I mean, the tank's helpful, but the healer's generally essential. I don't know, though. I mean, we do tend to zerg it up big time, so as long as we've got more or less rough proportions working in our favour, we're okay, really, with the group balance. But yeah, so I've decided from here on I'm going to go on as a healer, which I don't do a lot of, and is quite hard work, frankly. I'm going to have to look into add-ons, I think.
Well, without wanting to, say, be slightly insulting to anyone...
Oh, here we go.
You're picking a good couple of weeks to start learning.
Hmm.
It could be a lot worse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Disciple of Cain seems not to be the most powerful straight-out healer, and there's all this complex, you need to be doing melee damage as well as the healing to work well, so I've found quite a complicated way to go about learning it. Perhaps I should have been a Goblin Shaman or a Chaos Zealot instead, who both seem to get more straight, stand at the back and just keep pumping up health bars type of gameplay. That's all good stuff, though. Oh, Tier 3 is mental. It really is. I was worried that there wasn't a lot going on in there and that, you know, everyone seems to race their way up to Tier 4, but no way. We spent one of the 3 weeks, we spent 2 hours beating on the same keep door.
Wow.
I know, it's incredible. I mean,
when were they going to get the message?
We're not going away. Yeah. But they weren't going away either, and it just went on and on and on. And we didn't win. We sort of stalled in the end and had to go away. It was a bit of a running rout as they came pouring out. But
these things are never about winning or losing,
well,
are they?
I'm starting to try and teach myself this a bit. Yes, I was all quite despondent.
It's all XP.
They were all starting to call me emo and stuff, which is very amusing. But yeah, it was a fantastic experience.
Your group or the enemy?
Our group.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's just incredible. Just how long you get into this rhythm, and it wasn't just sort of backwards and forwards, you know, the same old 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3 on the hotbars. They were coming out the side, we were countering side attacks, we were trying to stop people getting in the post and get, you know, there was actual variation going on within that 2 hours. They were trying stuff and so were we, and neither of it was getting through. They've been countered almost precisely. It was fantastic.
It sounds sort of like what they always intended.
Well, yeah, but then I don't know, you've got this almost, I don't know, it starts to become a physiological thing after a while. You've got to sit there for 2 hours at the top of your adrenaline game, healing, tanking, whatever. How long can you keep it up? It really does become about physical endurance and attrition, ultimately. Eventually, people are going to say, oh, I've had enough of this, I'll go to bed. And that's it. That's how the battle gets decided, ultimately, because people just start logging off because they can't take any more. It was amazing. I mean, we've had a few more like that in the other weeks. Nothing quite as lengthy, but the tier three battles really do go some. Well, the basic problem is the layout, I think. With tier two, you've got the keep and you've got all the pads which out front, which you put the siege equipment on.
Okay.
Yeah, to catapults and what have you. With tier three, you've got the keep, then you've got an outer wall, and the pads are only on the outside of the outer wall. So what happens is you'll turn up, you know, before the enemy's alerted, generally, bash on through the outer wall, get the door down, etc. And then by the time you actually get into the keep in the middle and start back beating on that door, the enemy's had ample time to be alerted of your presence and have usually managed to get inside and start manning the oil and putting their own catapults on the top of the towers and things. But at the same time, you don't get any pads outside the keep, but inside the outer wall, if you see what I mean, except the battering ram.
Ah.
You're allowed the battering ram because that's the only way you can realistically get the door down. But my God, yeah, it's just such hard work without, you know, there's no way you can just suddenly smash it without bringing like three or four times as many people as are defending it. So the gameplay becomes, I don't know, quite, I don't want to say stilted or drawn out or anything. It's good, solid, rousing fun, but very much a case of you don't just steamroll your way around like you did in tier two. It's, I mean, the Zergs moving around the map as well, and if any of these keeps are uncontested, you'll just trample straight over them. But it takes much longer to do because you've got two doors to bash down, and in that time the enemy seems to have a much better chance of mobilizing some kind of defense, and often do. So it's good stuff. I mean, that 2 hour fight, I gained 4 renown ranks in one go. Mental. That's your PvP levels, as it were. I think gained about 1 or 2 normal levels as well. It was crazy. Yeah, lots of fun there. We also went off and did, I'm trying to balance it a bit, PvE and PvP. Obviously Warhammer's big thing is the PvP, otherwise you might as well be playing Warcraft or any number of other more technically polished PvE games. But the public quests are interesting. I mean, that's a concept you don't see in many other MMO morpagers. And it's done very well. And it suits our large number of we don't know how many people are going to be with us this week type outings, which is very good. But not everyone likes the PvE. Some people in our merry band are just there for the PvP, really, and tend to drift off at around sort of 10 or 11 when we eventually have had enough of the PvP and go off and try and find some other stuff. We spent a whole week doing Mount Gunbad. Gunbad? Something like that. Big goblin fortress. It's full of a whole bunch of goblins who aren't on our side. You know?
Okay. Cause bad goblins.
Bad goblins, absolutely, yeah. Well, because I think player goblins are all part of, is it Bloody Suns, is it? I can't remember which ones. But the bad moon goblins are the ones that seem to be down in the bottom of this gun bad place. They've all got cowls on and so on. I don't know, it's a strange old place. It's an instance done, well, I don't know if it's an instance, I think you can, but it's public instance. You go through a whirly, whole zone under this mountain, stuffed full of public quests, all on different arms of the tunnels. We tried one of the three main routes you can take through it, and we managed to get all the way to the far end of one of them. Very difficult public quest at the far end, involving some Grim Reaper thing that keeps dumping these big purple chaos portals on the floor that everyone has to run out of quite quickly. It took a while to get the coordination there, but we got it after our second go. Yeah, lots of influence and so on in there. Probably we'll be going back. I think there's two other big paths through there that we want to see as well. So that's a good outing for any tier three stuff, really. I think we were more or less spot on with the levels around sort of lower 20s, but perhaps the other arms of the place are a bit higher. I mean, we had a couple of people who've been there before and know what they're doing, so it's all good. Just a bit of pottering about in some of the nearby public quests. I think really it's the open RVR seems to be driving it mostly. It's sort of, you know, tipping the balance for us. I mean, we don't tend to do much in the way of scenarios, although I think we're going to be spending a week soon where we spend the whole time queued in the scenario queues.
So you might get one or two in.
So we might get a go at one or two, yeah. I mean, I popped on this afternoon, I had a terrible day today, actually, with my online gaming. I popped into EverQuest 2, that crashed out and the servers went down. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then I thought, all right, okay, off to Warhammer, back up reserve MMO. Played from there for a bit, then my internet connection died whilst I was in the middle of Nordenwatch. I get a bit bored of Nordenwatch, to be honest. It's a very straightforward and simple scenario. Everyone knows what they're doing, and it's probably the one I've played the most. But it seems to be, it recurs in every tier band, so everyone can keep having a go at it. And it is literally three spawn points. try and keep them all for as long as possible. Yeah, in a sort of V shape.
Oh, is that the one that goes up and around?
Yeah, you start on a beach at either side on some docks, and then you go up to this ruined fort at the far end.
Yeah, I never liked that.
Well, it's there all the time for everyone, and it seems to be the one I end up in the most when I try. But, the thing is, you can only get these new emblems. It's like, the officer medallions that you used to get.
Yes.
Yes. Well, there's a new green set that you can only get from scenarios that give you a whole bunch of cool gear, but we rarely ever do any scenarios. I don't know why. It's just, we try and queue now and then. I must admit, I prefer the open RVR to the scenarios for personal reasons, but we do try and queue now and then, but it rarely seems to kick off when we try. So, I don't know. Well, we'll spend the whole week in the queue, see what happens, see how many we get as an experiment, I think. But yeah, we're still going there. I think, I don't know, it's slowed down a little bit. I think we're probably talking maybe another 3 or 4 weeks in.
Still over by Christmas.
The war will be over by Christmas, yes. I know you're quite keenly anticipating the war being over so that we can all be freed up to go and do Lotro.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, yeah.
Either on you guys finishing or on Codemasters actually releasing.
It's become a bit of a race, yeah. Can we complete Warhammer Online before Codemasters pull their finger out? Yeah.
Probably, yes.
I think we probably can, yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Let's see. There's Eve. This was my last Eve week. I let my sub go, yeah. It's one of these I want to walk away content type of things. I've decided that I've had enough. It was starting to get a little bit samey, so I thought, well, no, let's not beat it into the ground like I often do with too many MMOs. Let's walk away happy and looking forward to the next time I want to fire it all up again. So, and then they announced, about the same time they announced all this Insurrections. Is it Insurrection?
That was the Star Trek film,
wasn't it?
I can't remember. I've not been paying attention.
The new Eve expansion.
Oh, I saw the videos of the new character builder.
Oh, the new character thing's going in. That's prep for Incarna, presumably.
Allegedly, which is apparently coming next summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We believe you, CCP.
Yeah, I'm not coming back until Incarna's in there. Let's put it that way.
The character designer looks really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, lots of pulling on noses to make them long. And on the woman one, I think they did avoid pulling on the breasts. But I'm pretty sure they are control points.
Is there a breast slider? Yeah, there usually is.
And I assume there's also a crotch one as well, because they wouldn't want to be one-sided there.
Right, okay.
For the male characters.
Fair enough. It looks like they're adding public quests, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
Is it open grouping as well?
I think it's
you probably end up in some special I don't know. You go to some special space where you can't just gank the guy you've joined the group with, or do they
probably not?
This is Eve. Yeah,
yeah. It seems to be going more towards the
big old PVE expansion.
Yeah, yeah. It's going a lot more towards the what everyone else has been doing.
And I can just imagine. I haven't looked at the forums, but I can imagine they're just full of we hate PVE. Fix the lag.
What I think it is along the lines of the Star Trek Online stuff, which has big public open group. You should have been here all weekend, because I've been playing all weekend. Big public open group quest, which you jump in, and when you jump in, you automatically join the group, and you then just roll through the objectives. So it's just like, say, Warhammer 1, but in space.
It sounds interesting, but it'll be there when I'm next in, you know? Yeah. It'll be there for when I come back, that's fine. I didn't bother even setting a long skill training, because you're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, you're not.
We had a very good last week, though. I took the Megathron out. I haven't flown the Megathron in quite some time. That's my pride and joy.
That's a nice looking ship.
It's the one that looks like a proper battleship. If you just sort of put the Megathron in an ocean at about halfway along the thing, it would look like a proper ship.
Although it wouldn't explain why there was the bit down the middle.
It'd probably sink. But normally I'm on Scimitar detail with the logistics for our wormhole excursion, but I thought I would take the Megathron. That was just as well, because we turned up the Class 5 wormhole. We finally had a go at the Class 5. I think there are sixes, I don't know, but Class 5 is the sort of upper end of your practicable general small group wormholing stuff, and oh my god, we got it. It started all right. Well, we ended up about three wormholes in. Sort of, we had to jump through about two Class 2s to get to the Class 5, and then we found a number of sites. We got it all set up. We sorted out a tank and everything. In we went, and my god, they gave you a hammering. I mean, we had two battleships. Normally, we don't have any. Battle cruisers are our top sort of damage dealers. We had two battleships, me and the Megathron, and I think it was a Typhoon as well. Asgar there. We had, I think we had the Twin Guardians doing repping and energy, and a whole bunch of other, I think, stealth bombing. There's a stealth bomber out there doing recon and all the rest of it. And yeah, just a lot of other battle cruisers turning up to. And my God, it's just such horrifically high spike damage. There's like the class 5 wormhole turrets, they are battleships coming like 3s and 4s and 5s, and then large amount of cruisers, but the turrets, my God, they hurt. Anyway, so just, I mean, we're all right if it was basically all the battle cruisers had to keep warping out and coming back, and it was just about, we were trying to desperately keep cycling through until they were settling on the battleships, which could just about, and my Megatron's been in quite so much peril since level 4 Worlds Collide, yeah. That was solo. But we did all right for the first 2 waves, and then somebody plinked the wrong ship on the wrong wave, sort of third wave came in on top of the second wave, and you get 2 waves at once in there, and that was it, we were screwed. I mean, we just had to start bailing out. Go for it, go, get out. Ah, it was, you know, the whole horrific radio chatter going on TeamSpeak. I got out just about, and I wasn't the first to leave, you might, just in case you're thinking I was cowardly of some sort. No, I stayed as long as I could and got out just about, but they all scramble on class 5, so it was really quite hectic. The Typhoon, we lost that, and one of the Guardians as well went, so yeah, that's the first time we came across something we couldn't do in our little Wednesday wormhole
and
gang.
So then you immediately quit.
So I quit, yeah, rage quit. No, my sub was running out that weekend anyway. It was interesting. I mean, we did a few class 2s sites on the way back through just to recoup the losses and everything, and we got this massive ship replacement fund that we never ended up using, so that's probably going to be buying new battleships and Guardians as I speak. So yeah. But no, I'm glad we found a 5 and gave it a go. But I suppose it was the natural pinnacle of the wormhole excursion for my big long session of playing Eve this time. You know, it was the top. We got as far as we could with it, and I think to get 5s and beyond, you're going to need much more battleships. Probably, I don't know, maybe a carrier if you can get it in there. But it becomes very difficult with the wormholes themselves. Yeah, your mass gets too big, and you just end up collapsing the wormhole with half the fleet stranded and no way home.
Yes,
which we did have. We had the occasional Voyager incident here and there, but usually they dumped us out, you know, 10 jumps into Norton. Yeah, it was quite hectic getting back, but we managed to get back alive. So, on the whole, it was an incredible success, our little wormholes. I'm talking about in the past tense now. Obviously, they're still playing. And from what I hear, now that my moral compass is no longer part of the fleet, they're
having a lot more fun.
Having a lot more fun and embracing the darker side of Eve, from what I hear. Bunch of reprobates. But I enjoyed it immensely. We did well. We earned lots and lots of Eve money doing this stuff. And it was a lot of fun and very challenging too. There was elements of PvP and a little bit of risk and danger to it all. But it wasn't, the focus of it wasn't the PvP. I mean, that may change now that Kebair Tim has hung up for a bit. But I enjoyed it immensely.
I think it's one of those experiences where most people think you can't have an Eve. Because they just assume it's all PvP or all sitting in stations making
Well, it's not
stuff.
All constant PvP. I mean, the PvP is always there, no matter what your gameplay style is. You always need to be aware of it. But you can have a lot of fun without even firing on a single other player if you want. You know, it's all good. It's all good. It's a wide enough and big enough sandbox to allow lots of different people to get on with what they want to do without conflicting too much, you know. I mean, obviously, if you just set the autopilot into deep nought, there's no point getting indignant when you're ganked at a gate. But do a bit of research, learn the lay of the land, you can live quite happily however you please in that game. I always found. So thanks to Geddens and his little merry gang of wormhole explorers, and I shall see you all guys again soon, and probably see you lots in other games anyway,
I suspect, sometime in November when he sees the new character creator.
I don't know. I'm going to hold off for a couple of feature sets, you know, and I don't want to just jump straight in the first time they add anything new. Let's save a few.
Walking in, can't we find a better name for this station?
Incarna.
Is apparently summer.
Sometime next year now, is it? Well, yes. That'll suit me fine. Yeah. I imagine by the time, yeah, next summer, I'd probably be itching to have another go at it all. But for now, that's me done with Eve for the time being.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but I've enjoyed it. I mean, I've had good sessions and bad sessions, you know, good runs and bad runs. And sometimes you just sort of spend 3 or 4 months mining asteroids, puttering about, not really getting anything useful done or even having that much fun, to be honest. And sometimes you can spend months in a really fantastic single solid big adventure. You know, it is very hit and miss. You have to sort of get out of it what you put in, I think.
You know what the difference is each time?
Well, don't solo it, that's
yeah
for sure.
People,
yeah, absolutely.
If you're with good people, Eve is really, really
good.
I'd go
as far as to warn people off of playing Eve at all if they're just going to solo.
Do not solo Eve.
And this is me, you know.
No real point.
I hate enforced grouping, and I'm a big proponent of solo gameplay being viable. But something about Eve, I don't know, you're going to get bored and possibly damage any future future aspirations of playing Eve as well.
Find yourself a good corp and
you'll
be happy.
Yeah, but
or a good bunch of friends.
I don't recommend just jumping in there and spamming, I'm looking for a corp.
That is not how you find a good corp.
No. If you've got friends that play Eve, find out what they're doing. Get involved. That's the way to do it, really. But yeah, I mean, just signing up with, you know, 300 random strangers and being told to pick up a shovel, that's not much fun either. So all good stuff. So EverQuest 2 then, yeah, I don't know, I've been having a bit of bad luck with EverQuest 2 over the last couple of weeks. Various times I seem to, well, for the Tuesdays I think was when we tried to play, but I think the last Tuesday it was down. So they've only got one server for this EQ2X thing, which surprises me. I mean, it's always there as heavy load, but...
Well, it does make you wonder how many people they're fitting on a server then, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, perhaps they've redesigned it in some Guild Wars-esque style that's... No, I don't know, though. It's all fixed. Well, you've always had the select which instance of the supposed shared overland zone.
It makes you wonder, how many of these instances do they have supported? How big is the cluster that makes up that server?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps they're moving to a serverless thing after all.
I hope so. All games should.
Well, maybe, but then you do lose the community side of it being in a small town, as it were, rather than a big metropolis. Yeah, so very frustrating. I tried to play a bit today. I'm 30-something or other, Guardian. We're on the Enchanted Lands and Zek now. Well, I am anyway. We haven't really had a big group outing for quite some time. And also, typically, when we have the group outings, we always end up mentoring down to the lowest person. So we've done a lot of level 10 to 20 content, but looking forward to getting a group session going on some of the 30-plus stuff. But, I'm pottering about there. It's just sightseeing and nostalgia for me. I think a lot of the time when I'm soloing in there, I'm just running around looking at places I used to know. Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird. I'm on this kind of strange third stage nostalgia. I'm nostalgic about my previous time in EverQuest 2 when I used to play seriously and got a character up to about, I don't know, 70s. But also that time was me being nostalgic about my time in EverQuest 1 because a lot of the same lore and maps and zones are in there but changed and different. So now I'm on this weird multi-nostalgia thing and it's all going to collapse in on itself sometime soon, I'm sure. Mostly puttering around doing the odd solo quest there and dungeons when we can, really. We've got a number of the heritage quests on the go. We must try and actually finish one of those. They are designed, to be fair, to be multi-session endeavours. You're not really... I don't imagine you're meant to do them all in one go, but...
Probably not.
But it's just remembering that we need to finish them and not starting something new next time. Because you level so quick in there, you end up out-leveling the content and suddenly...
Yeah, that's always the problem.
It all stays in your book and grey, yeah.
Any game where they've tweaked the levelling curve.
I know. I mean, it's... I almost wish the levels weren't so fast. I wish it was more of a grind. I mean, that sounds really stupid. But, I mean, here what we see with EverQuest 2, I imagine the normal EverQuest 2 as well, is that... with the normal EverQuest 2, you can move the alternate advancement slider, so that's not locked 50-50. So you will typically level twice as fast if you're doing it wrong. You just blast through it, and the rest of the game hasn't been designed around, you know, providing stuff at that rate. So we're starting to see that perhaps there is a reason it takes a while to get anything meaningful done in an MMO. I mean, if you can finish an MMO in a month, what? You're going to miss most of it, aren't you? That's the thing. So, but then the mentoring, you always go back and have another go. We've got our big crafting on the go. I don't know, I think they've changed something in there now, because I looked this afternoon, briefly, while it was up, and All the level chats are there now. The zone chats.
Yeah, they've added them.
They thought
that you guys wanted them.
So what? How much station cash do I have to pay to have them barred forever then? Because that was quite good. I haven't checked. I wonder if the auction house is usable now.
I don't know, actually. I didn't see that one.
I'm going to have to go and have a look. Yeah, well, I was going to have a good old session today, but yeah, the whole thing collapsed. One server, which wasn't working today, and also wasn't working on Tuesday as well.
That's not very good.
I know. I think they're having some degree of reliability issues from the sounds of it all. Whether that's just, what, too much load? It's far too popular. I mean, it surprises me they've only got one server for EQ. 2x. I mean, yeah, and if it is sharding it all out intelligently like Guild Wars or whatever, it still helped to have a couple of them on the go, I'd imagine. But I guess it's probably more popular. Well, maybe they just don't want to be closing servers when the the buzz dies down.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Which is often the way that these things go. But yeah, I mean, I've got a very relaxed attitude towards EverQuest 2 extended thing there, because I'm not paying anything for it. I can just keep playing indefinitely, and so there's no pressure. I don't feel pressured to be there and get my money's worth, you know.
Well, that's okay.
I don't feel like I have to play X number of hours a week in this game, or I might as well not be subbed,
yeah.
Because yeah, I'm not paying anything for it anyway. So it gives it a more relaxed pace and a relaxed feel, and I feel I don't have to play it as much as, say, Warhammer, which I have also been doing a bit of extracurricular during the last couple of weeks as well, just a little bit soloing in there. The thing with Warhammer is that we tend to do all the big group stuff and open RVR, and I'm missing a lot of the backstory and the lore and the solo stuff, which, to be fair, is a bit dull. You know, go kill 10 of these, then we'll go and do this. But there's a lot of Warhammer Games Workshop lore about the land and what's going on in there, and also Age of Reckoning lore as well, what's going on with these offensives and stuff. And to pick up much of that story, you do have to go through and dabble a bit with some of the solo questing. Certainly the epic line that runs through each zone there, just to get a feel for what's going on around you. So this can be worth going off and doing a bit of offside, you know, a bit of offside questing as well. So EverQuest 2, Eve, I don't know, was there another one? I think I'm slowly closing them down.
You're slowly closing them down. When will people realise?
I know, I'm stepping away. Stepping away from it all. No, there wasn't a lot of MMOs this last 3 weeks, mostly because of Minecraft, to be honest.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that a bit then.
Go on then.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want an excellent appraisal of the entire thing on hold there, but you want to track down Kiasa Cast episode 7, where they gush extensively about Minecraft and how awesome it is, and they're right. And I don't know why.
If I knew, I'd be a millionaire.
Ridiculously addictive thing, and I would warn people away from it if they haven't already fallen to it, because it's, you pick it up and you just don't stop. I've had a number of 4 a.m. finishes over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just got to finish this tunnel. Dig, 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 dig. Yeah. It's a strange old thing. It's just basically a big literal sandbox Lego thing where you just use crafting to combine a number of tools together and then manipulate the environment around you with pickaxes and spades and so on. And there's no goal. I mean, yeah, there's monsters at night that will kill you if you're not sufficiently defended. But apart from that, you're just digging for the hell of it. I can't stop. It's terrible. Ooh, dabbling with a multiplayer server, weren't we?
Oh, yes.
That was quite interesting times there.
Yeah.
No damage, I notice.
No damage. And it is strange the amount of time it takes certain people to build an Eye of Mordor.
Yeah, I went all a bit sour on my bit of land there. It was fantastic. Yeah, and it's an alpha game, so it's not even in beta testing yet. Yeah, it's sold like about $1 million worth of stuff.
I do worry that it's going to run out of steam before the beta.
Well, I think, you know.
And if they start...
You didn't even need to come out of alpha. What he's done there is he's put his thing on sale and said, look, here it is, pay me $8 if you like. And about 300,000 people have gone, all right. And so, you know, commerce has happened.
Yeah, but I wonder that is the...
I wonder how faddy it is.
Is going to be ruined by adding more game-like mechanics?
Oh, I see. Well, now he's got all this money. He said he's going to get professional people to come in and do stuff.
If it went towards the whole questing type way, which is one of the ideas they want to go for.
It's an absolutely inexplicable and unexpected perfect storm, and it could be destroyed design-wise so easily and in so many unexpected ways. Just touching it touching the design in the wrong manner will cause
it
to collapse.
A feeling, actually, that...
Leave it alone. It's fine.
The Halloween expansion may well do this.
Yeah.
Because they're adding the...
Oh, no, we don't want stupid festival-themed nonsense. That's MMO stuff.
What they're adding is that torches are going to burn out.
Oh, dear.
And that directly affects my main... tunnel digging.
You're going to be continually searching for coal all of a sudden, and it'll become a chore rather than
Or you can make lanterns which burn forever, which I assume are going to need metal, which is in a short supply anyway. So I do wonder if that's not going to break it all.
Yeah, well, it could. I mean, it's doing so well that the only way is down, really, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yes.
Almost anything at all will make it jump the shark. And to be honest, I think, everyone's... I mean, I'm speaking personally here. I'm ridiculously addicted to it at the moment, but I could see myself getting bored of it and drifting away within the next within a month or so, at least, at the latest.
That's because once you've built a couple of things,
it's having its moment in the sun, and it's not going to last forever, and attempts to keep it going and keep it fresh may destroy it instead. So I don't know, I have to see what it does. I have to see if I continue to like it. I don't know why, I'm just very... It's very cathartic, very, very therapeutic. Dig, 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 dig. I'm just digging a tunnel. I don't know why. I don't know where I'm going. Just keep putting torches up every now and then. I'm just digging. It's great, you know?
Oh, if you go down in the big chasm underneath my house, you'll find I've set up a bit to mass-produce obsidian.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange. And yet, at the same time, I will mock people for mining in Eve, you know?
Yeah.
It's just very hypocritical, but... something very, I don't know, hands-on. I wouldn't even call it creative, because I've done my time in Second Life, which is infinitely better at creating free-form things than Minecraft is. Minecraft has a very small subset of rules and objects and positioning and so on, and yet I'm having a lot more fun in Minecraft than I had in a long time in Second Life. And there's no porn in Minecraft either, which, you know...
I don't know.
Minecraft porn. Yeah.
James nearly gave that statue some features.
Yeah. There's a lot of imaginative sculpture going on, from what I gather. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. Do you want me to talk about something that isn't Minecraft? I suppose we better...
Yeah, go on.
Not everyone... I don't know. Well, I think everyone is...
Everyone's played
moment,
it.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 2 has...
Huzzah!
I have now completed it.
You punched the Pope.
I punched the Pope. It was as awesome as you said it was going to be. even with all your constant spoilers. It was brilliant. Small tip about the Pope. The Pope isn't very good at breaking grabs. So, you know, when you find yourself in, for example, an ultimate game-ending punch-up in the Vatican, use the grab manoeuvre.
Punch-up with the Pontiff. It's like Rumble in the Jungle.
When you're in a punch-up with the Pontiff, use grab a lot. If you use anything else, he'll beat you a lot with his big stick, but he seems almost incapable of resisting the grab move.
Yes.
And then you can just keep headbutting him and kneeing him until he falls over, and then you punch him lots. Yeah, very good. And then
the ending.
Let's talk about that. Now, are we going to do spoilers here?
It's been out a year.
You've had your chance. Okay, so basically, it turned out to be aliens all along.
Yes.
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, I'm wondering. I mean, already you're on very sort of fanciful sci-fi ground with even just the concept of the animus and genetic memory interpreted in such a literal fashion. Does it need suddenly we were all descended from aliens as well?
Oh, but they hinted at it in the first game, didn't they?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I liked how it was hinting. I mean, the thing with these sort of grand super conspiracy hinting thing is that it's always more exotic if you don't explain the joke.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't explain what's going on.
But you have to at some stage.
Well, I suppose the end does leave you with as many questions as it answers. So it was fantastic fun, though. I mean, I found just pretty much every aspect of Assassin's Creed 2 is better than Assassin's Creed 1. It's like they've really done a fantastic job
there's only
of following
one thing.
Feedback.
Yeah? On the whole, being part of the Crusades, it's less good Assassin's Creed 2. But it's, conversely, Assassin's Creed 2 is a lot better at being Renaissance Italy.
Well, apart from that, what I mean mechanically, I mean things like, Assassin's Creed 1, there are three tasks you have to do. Only three tasks, which will then give you enough stuff to do an assassination. The missions were quite varied in this one. The storyline stuff itself was all quite interesting and varied. I mean, I find myself flying in Leonardo's flying machine at one point over Venice, trying to
desperately hit enough thermals off fires.
Trying to hit enough thermals from these bonfires that people lit on the roofs and stuff. It was brilliant. I like the collection gameplay. That was much better. Much better in play. I mean, the feathers are still a pain in the arse, but you don't have to do that if you don't want to, and there's a market for that kind of gameplay. Yeah. Some people do want very difficult
things. I appreciate the feathers like I appreciated the flags because it gives me still, the feathers, gives me a reason to go back and just spend an afternoon running across the roos.
Yeah.
6 months later when I haven't played it for a while.
I can't see me ever completing the flags in one or the feathers in two, but the chests is brilliant. Sell little treasure maps. Let the player decide if they want the hints or not. You can just not buy the treasure maps from the art vendor and suddenly the treasure chests become as difficult to find as every other. These stupid collect 300 orbs. However, if you've got a life and want to get on with things, you can run around, pick up the treasure maps for each district, and it just shows you on the minimap where all the little boxes are. And I'm still collecting those. I found all the little... the villa. The villa was a nice idea.
It didn't really go anywhere.
I felt like it could have become more evolved concept.
I maxed out the villa very, very quickly. Cause you get hold of your uncle Mario's.
Hey, it's me, a Mario. Yeah. So even I got that pop culture reference there.
Yeah, you get hold of his villa and you then start spending money to renovate it and it brings in income.
Yeah. So if you go crazy on the stuff that brings in more income, eventually it more than pays for itself, and all you got to do is remember to go back and empty
first,
the chest.
First of all, in any game like that, when it gives you a situation where you can invest stuff to get an income,
reinvest.
Do it.
Reinvest. Yeah, absolutely. So I ended up with the villa. I mean, I liked how it turned from like this real ramshackle old sort of almost ruin into this big functional town. It's quite good. I'd like to see that more done with that for a third game, perhaps. But... I love the locations. It actually made me go and look up history and stuff as well.
It's a very educational game.
Did, I know I'm going to get mocked for using computer games to teach me history and stuff, but I learned a lot about Renaissance Italy from this.
I think all kids should be forced to play it in school.
On two levels. I mean, the database entries were fascinating as we were going through. You know, it flashes up that you push the back button now to look at the database as you discover each thing. And I learned a little bit about that. And then I went off to Wikipedia in my lunch break when I was bored and started finding that actually most of this stuff happened. The Pazzi Conspiracy, which is like the early part of the game in Florence, it actually happened in real life, only there wasn't an assassin leaping about in the background.
There may well have been.
Well, there may have been.
Just wouldn't have been in history books.
But no, they tried to sort of base it in and around real life historical events as well as they can, and they did a fairly good job with it as well. I mean, it's interesting that I almost didn't notice that the date was moving on so much. I mean, it seemed like continuous gameplay from start to end of about 40 hours or 50 hours or whatever, but actually what's happening is between memory sequences it's jumping ahead in time, and the whole thing takes place over about 30 years.
Yeah, there's one jump of 10 years or something, just don't it takes a while to figure out that's what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, he's suddenly got this goatee beard. Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Didn't have that at the end of the last mission. Oh, 10 years later, right. Yeah. The fantastic parkour stuff. It seemed a lot more forgiving than the first one as well. It's more intelligent about how he wants to grab. You know, he'll grab anything nearby.
He will assume the default is grab, not plummet.
All these parkour games. I mean, any parkour game that assumes that I want to throw myself off the roof I'm standing on is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, I should have to push at least two buttons to plummet off the roof uncontrolledly if that's what I want to do. You know, sticky parkour, that's the way. Very good, very good. I like the distance, the sword fighting, much better. Much better.
Yes.
To win any sword fight in Assassin's Creed 1, all you do is hold the block and push counter whenever they move. You will win every sword fight. And sometimes
works in an awful lot of games.
Sometimes they will go on. In Assassin's Creed 1, I've had like up over 100 combatants appear in one fight. Because, again, they just keep coming from their spawn points and patrolling through where your fight is. And if you can't kill them quick enough, they'll join in. And it was ridiculous. I'd be there for like 20 minutes sometimes. And you know, the achievement for being in combat continuously for 10 minutes. No problem. Pretty much any fight will do that. Very bad. Assassin's Creed 2, much better. For starters, they're a lot more cowardly. You know, they'll give up and run away a lot more frequently, so you don't have to butcher everyone down to the last man to get on with your business. Sometimes they'll realize they're clearly outclassed and go and give up. There are new types of enemy with whom the counter doesn't work. I mean, the big guys in the armor with the axes and stuff, if they swing at you, you cannot counter it. You try and counter it, they're just going to splat you, so you have to dodge instead of counter.
Then take their weapon.
The most effective way to deal with them is to try and fight them unarmed and grab the axe as it comes down towards you. So they're just generally a lot cleverer. They sort of break the grab move more often. They use different types of weapons. The combat in general a lot more interesting, and it wasn't this case of, oh God, can this fight stop soon, please? You know, it's sort of, you know, if you're unlucky, you'd get a patrol come through, but often it would be over quick enough to stop.
And more importantly, you've now got two wrist blades, so you can drop down between two people and skewer them both.
I like the
head.
Smoke bomb as well. Smoke bomb's a good get out of jail free card. If the fight's going badly or you want to get on with something, you just drop that and they all start coughing and spluttering, and then that puts them in unaware mode, so you can just instantly start assassinating them as well. But you can only carry three of those. I didn't really figure the poison out.
I used the poison to get the achievement, and that was it.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to do that when you're not in a fight, and then they'll carry on wandering off, and then they'll go berserk and start causing a distraction. I don't think that's an in-fight thing, but generally very good, very good. I like it. I'm thinking of going on an Assassin's Creed 2 touring holiday at some point in the future. Go and visit some of these places, because particularly the one in the Tuscan region, San Giovanni or something like that, the one with the big towers, the square towers. That's a real place. I've had a look at that on Google Earth and everything.
Remember, if you've got a little jutty out bit, you can't jump off it.
I expect to be deported because I'm trying to climb some some monument in Venice that's protected or whatever. I wonder if they get many people do that. I could be the first.
That'd be
awesome.
The number of times we should have gotten in trouble for climbing stuff before in the past anyway.
I recommend that game entirely, though. I mean, Assassin's Creed 1 I probably would recommend, but it's not nearly as good. There's a lot of rough edges to it. Yeah. It's still a fantastic game. Assassin's Creed 2, very good indeed. I recommend it wholeheartedly. Mind you, I haven't played Arkham Asylum yet, so
you should play Arkham Asylum.
I don't know if that's the best game ever or this one, but very good. Well worth the money. I think I saw a Game of the Year Assassin's Creed 2 on the shelf in Tesco's last time we were there.
So it's probably, what, £20 now?
I expect that one's got the two missing memory sequences that are DLC included in it, which is I don't know if I want to buy them or not, because it's the problem, isn't it? I'm borrowing it.
Yeah.
Why do I want to buy DLC to own for a game I'm borrowing? I don't, is the answer. So, yeah, lost sale. But, had a lot of fun with that. A little bit of retro gaming on the PC as well. I'm still going with Thief. I got through. Oh dear, hard work. I'm on the. I got the Burgle. I think there was the one with the two rival thieves guild lords having a big war, and you're supposed to get in underneath and steal stuff out from both of them. That's quite hard work. It took a long time. Huge level. About 2 hours. I think my save game, because it saves them with the level name and time. The duration spent, and I think I spent about 3 hours doing that one in total. It was crazy. That was one level. Stole the sword from Constantine, and now I'm in the haunted quarter looking for the eye, at which point it all kicks off, because I've played this before, so I know what happens. But it's still awesome, still a lot of fun, still just a great game, well executed, even given its age. I've been playing Unreal.
Unreal?
Unreal.
Unreal?
Just Unreal. No tournament, no Unreal. 3, no Unreal, Halo, stupid thingy, Gears of
whatever.
Whatever
possessed you to
buy that? The very first Unreal game. Well, I don't know. I was just rummaging through my CD rack and I found it.
Whatever possessed you to buy the first Unreal game? That's so unlike you.
Ah, that was ages and ages ago. I can't remember. It was probably a different man back then. It must have been a decade ago. Well, I don't know. When was it? When did it come out? Are we talking sort of early 90s, mid-90s? Is it contemporaneous with Thief?
Let me just check.
Yeah, you can look it up. I'm quite curious. I've had a good old romp through there. It flows fantastically. You'll need a DirectX 5 capable machine if you want to play it. But I know, it offered to install DirectX 5, and I thought, oh no, don't do that.
Released May the 22nd, 1998.
That's a little bit more recent than I thought, but it's still very old.
That was a good move on their part, because this has made them a small fortune.
Well, this is them behind basically the Unreal Engine and pretty much everything spawned from it, Gears of War being the big notable.
Nearly every game I've played recently has been one of the games we're going to talk about later is an Unreal Engine game.
Yeah, 12 years ago they launched the Unreal, which was, it looks a bit Quake, to be honest, as I'm running through. It's interesting. You wake up on a crashed prison transport on a strange alien planet, and you have to...
You're prisoner 849, I believe, from memory.
Right. From memory. I don't know. I mean, you treat it with the leniency you'd expect to treat a 12-year-old game, but it's still very fast. It has a bit of trouble whenever it tries to shoot off a particle effect, smoke or steam or whatever, because it makes the screen all judder to a halt and it freezes momentarily. Is that a processor thing? I forgot to try.
I had the same problem with Knights of the... What's it?
Oh, yeah.
Jedi thingy.
Old Republic.
Old Republic, yeah. Mm. Modern PC, and when I upgraded my graphics card, it went away. So I think you had the same generation graphic card that I had previously.
I've got a 96 or 9400.
It was chugging on particles and stuff. I bought a 50 quid graphics card and then replaced it, and it all works fine.
It makes it a bit more challenging in that every rocket is also a stun grenade, but I'm still beating them.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, I'm on normal difficulty. There's two more above.
Yeah.
The one of them, but I'm not on the lowest. That's the thing. I will always pick the not the lowest, but the one above. Because I have too much pride to pick easy on any first-person shooter, but I know I'm not good enough to pick anything higher than normal. So
if it's a game which I know I'm going to be playing for a while, I will pick a higher one. But if it's just a game I'm going to breeze through because I want to play the story, I'll just play it on normal.
I'm generally interested in the story first. If it's good enough, I'll play again on hard. I mean, Thief, I'm playing on the supreme, you know, the expert level with all the extra objectives. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's, there's nothing to write home about. It's very by the numbers. But then you have to think, well, yeah, but this is one of the ones that defined the genre. So it's
one of those nexus points of gaming.
Yeah, you can't really call
that Quake Doom.
You can't call it on being cliched because it's the genre defining work in many aspects. Very good. I'm enjoying it. I got about halfway through, I think, in one romp, a couple of hours, and I looked up and thought, oh god, I'm late for the podcast. So
yeah. I wonder why you were late.
Yes, yeah. So I probably will finish that. I can't remember if I ever finished it or not.
I don't think I ever played it.
No, it suffers a little bit from boss battle syndrome. Yeah. But I got through the first big one and I thought, oh god, well, we'll see how far we get then.
Of course, shortly after that, it went down the Unreal Tournament route.
Yeah, they decided that the deathmatch was the only way to play it, and it was a shame because it was a good, enjoyable solo story romp thing. I mean, it's got the universal translator that you find almost immediately. And basically, anytime you come across some alien writing, you push F2, it gives you a little pop-up text box. So it even has a little bit of story to it. It's not just run through, blow everything up. I'd forgotten. I don't know if I've ever completed it. Perhaps I did. If so, I've forgotten. So I'm quite interested to find out what happens at the end. Presumably, I kill some kind of demon king or something. It's what usually happens. But this is aliens, not the occult. So that's quite interesting. It does remind me quite a bit of Quake, I suppose. But I haven't played Quake in a very long time either. I bet that's not as good as I remember.
Quake's quite blocky, very brown.
I mean, you know, full credit to them for coming up with the first proper full 3D shooters. But yeah, we've come a long way since.
We have
then,
come a long way. Yes, we're now a lot more grey than brown.
Yeah, but you can probably find Unreal on eBay or something if you want to have a go yourself. I recommend it.
They open sourced it yet? I don't know.
You probably won't find it for sale.
I know id release the source for a lot of their older games. So. Anyway, then again, who's going to go back and play Unreal based on your recommendation? Who hasn't played it before? It's either going to be people who've played it before.
Anyone playing along at home, yeah. Oh, well, in a vab there. Yes, do we want to talk about real games that we've been playing as well?
We could talk about real games.
At the end. You got some computer games to talk about.
Oh, we could talk about
computer games. I'm done with computer games anyway.
Okay, yes, because we also had a games night, which is why there was no Thursday night Gears session.
Mm.
Right, there's an Unreal game. Not Unreal, I mean Halo Reach.
Halo Reach, okay. Yes. So it's your big latest installment. Have you finished that yet?
Oh, yeah, I completed that in the first weekend.
You think it takes them, what, 2-3 years? It takes 50 people 3 years to make that game.
No.
It takes one afternoon to destroy it.
I finished one playthrough on Heroic. I've also got the playthrough on Legendary and also all the multiplayer. And also, because you get XP points just for redoing missions, even if you're just helping a friend out, say, playthrough on Legendary, you still level up. So there's a lot more replay there than there has been previously.
That's a bit like Lotro with the marks of victory.
Yeah.
You need to give people an incentive for doing it again to help a friend.
Yeah.
Even if it is just help a friend.
So basically, if I just feel like there's this one mission in ODST where if you play it on Legendary and get through without firing a single shot and complete the mission, you've got an achievement.
Mm.
And I will occasionally really do that in that way, even though I have the achievement, just because I enjoy it so much.
What, not firing a shot?
Yeah.
Pacifist completion.
Yeah.
How can you do that? So there's no required boss battles then?
No. It's mainly a vehicle level. It's the one with Baldwin. Adam Baldwin.
Mm.
It's the one he voices.
Ah.
Of course, from Chuck and Serenity and Firefly and the Baldwin dynasty. And that mission is just so much fun to play without firing, because basically getting a weapon, bomb it through, But if I was getting XP for that, like I would do under the new system, that'd be even better.
So it's encouraging more games you can win without firing the gun.
Yeah. So it's encouraging you to just go through and keep playing missions that you enjoy, which is good, and I really like.
Fair enough.
And also there's the daily challenges, which are still brilliant.
Yes. It's still working, is it? It's not broken down into a obviously repeating pattern or anything that's been automated.
Not that yet. I've seen. There's some evil ones, and there are some. You tend to get shifts in the playlists depending on, you know, what people are playing, depending on what they are.
Ah, right.
I mean, if there's get loads of headshots on whatever, then people will start playing those a lot more.
Ah.
But they're all reasonably attainable. I mean, some of them kill 140 people in one day. That's 10 matches for
it
a reasonable a person.
Ah, right.
Or 20 if you're me. Or yeah.
But doable,
still,
though, yeah,
yeah, it's still good, and it's still very enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
Next, there was... Oh, play some Gears. Talk about Unreal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. We'll keep playing Gears, of course. We've been doing some more of the Thursday night grouping.
Yeah, yeah. I was there, wasn't I?
But you were there.
I got kicked or...
Oh, are you having...
Net troubles or something.
Yeah. I was having troubles because I've got the Xbox dashboard update, and so I can't pass you with anyone. You were having network troubles.
Yeah.
Which sounds like you've been having quite a lot of recently.
Yeah, I think my ISP might have gone, moved me over onto the crap tariff now I've been there for at least a year or something.
Yeah, but I still can't not love Gears of War 2's multiplayer. And forget the competitive, it's horde mode. Competitive multiplayer is so-so, but horde mode is just great fun. Then, oh yes, the big game, Dead Rising 2.
Yeah, so you actually got the full thing now.
Yeah, got the full thing now, and I'm playing through it. I haven't actually finished my first playthrough.
Ah.
I made the decision my first playthrough would be go through, just get the best ending I can without running off, getting distracted by all the side missions.
Yeah.
So, spare time spent getting any survivors I can realistically get which aren't too difficult, exploring, and killing. So far that's sort of working out. Only I've hit a point where the save system's annoying me slightly. And by annoying me slightly, I mean I keep dying without saving, and that's really annoying.
God, have you got to manually save the game? I get a lot of that with Unreal and Thief,
You have to manually save the game.
I have to reteach myself to use save games.
And you can only do it at certain places, which are bathrooms.
No.
So it's a game where you're always planning to not be too far away from a bathroom.
Autosave has spoiled us.
If I get an adult nappy in this game, I'll be happy. But no, it's still, if you like Gears 1 or if you like K-Zero, which you should play, just get the demo and play it. You'll love the main game. It's exactly the same as the first one. And it's all about the playthrough. You expect to play it through several times because you're making choices during it as to what you want to do that playthrough.
Does it mix it up? Is there a certain amount of random generation to it going?
No.
No.
It's all prescribed, and you have to make choices about what you want to do that time.
Ah, but it's designed in such a way that you can't possibly get all of the
objectives. You can if you're incredibly good.
Ah, right. So a sort of internal variable difficulty based on what you decide you think you can achieve.
Yeah. And it throws an awful lot of people. A lot of people don't quite like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really do. I love that. It's like watching a movie, but the movie's subtly different each time. Because they took a different route through it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So you may decide, say, to take on one of the early guys and get your bike. Or you may decide you don't need to.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I really like it. It's really quite fun.
Excellent.
And
you're quite an aficionado of the zombie survival game. How's this rate against Left 4 Dead, etc.?
It's not scary. It's one of
zombie games generally aren't.
No, it's a brightly lit zombie game. So it's one of those. Say if there was hypothetically a movie about lots of zombies in a mall, it would be along those lines.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Excellent.
And I was attacking zombies with a lady's personal massager at one stage.
Classy.
Not a very good weapon. Whack, whack, whack.
Yeah, I was watching you play it one week, last week or something, and just the variety of things you can pick up and throw at the zombies is pretty great. Also, combo weapons look
Oh, the combo weapons are great. You find bits of equipment all around the place, like, say, a 2x4 and a lawnmower. And then you take them into the maintenance room, get out your duct tape, tape them together, and you've got a weapon.
Ah.
Or
baseball bat with nails in.
Yeah, I don't know why he needs duct tape for that one. Just hammer would do. Or there's the brain hat, which is basically a metal bucket with three electric drills stuck in. And you put it on the head and it just drills the head away.
That's a rather cumbersome sort of weapon. But yeah. Fair enough.
And do you know the big Lego head? The famous one from it? Yeah. You can put a whirring blade on top.
Excellent. Yeah.
Or you can take the, there's a radio control helicopter you can find.
Mm-hmm.
You stick blades on the blades.
Yeah.
And it just hovers there making a noise so all of the zombies run towards it and die.
Excellent.
There are some that's really quite fun.
Really over the top budget weaponry.
Yeah. It's all about the killing.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
Style bonus.
I'm sort of mildly in love with that game.
Ah.
What else? Oh, I played a bit of Halo Wars.
That's the
RTS. The RTS.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yes, because of something else I'm doing at the moment. Mm. I've been looking at lots and lots of RTS games on the consoles. And while I was doing it, I was thinking I needed to unlock the last helmets in Halo Reach, which you do via getting achievements in all the Halo games.
Oh, God. Right.
Using Halo Waypoint, which is, Halo Waypoint's this app on the Xbox, which basically pulls together all of your Halo experience, links up all of your achievements in all the games, and gives you a rank because of it.
Yeah, points out exactly how much of your life you've spent wasted in Halo.
Exactly. And I figured that, right. I just did one playthrough of Halo Wars, and there was a bunch of achievements I could get in there to get up, so I got the rest of the helmets.
Ah.
And so I did that. And, yeah. I really wish I could pull the camera back on that. It's a good game, and I like it. Apart from that, the camera's rammed way too close to the ground, and I can't see enough of the map.
That's
what I'll say. But I'll say more about that when I do the thing that I was talking about doing it for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got quite a lot of, actually, achievements that I was playing through all the skirmishes. Then I played Borderlands.
What? Why?
Claptrap's new Revolution thing. There's the new DLC out.
New DLC.
Yeah.
Crikey, I think they're up to about four now, five?
Yeah, four. They said they weren't going to do any more, but they...
Wait for the Game of the Year edition,
It's out very soon.
Hmm.
Basically, I finished...
Just digressing a bit. I'm starting to think that it's a bad move to buy new games. I was thinking about this with Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
There's the Bonfire of the Vanities and the Battle for Forlì. They're two DLCs that I'm missing, which it even leaves gaps for in the DNA sequence.
That's because they
from the game
didn't
out
quite
the
finish them while developing the game.
Well,
yeah.
You wonder, don't you? But
no, then, they admitted that.
Right, fair enough. But you just think, well, actually, would it not make more sense to just wait like a year or something and buy the game with all the DLC
the
add-ons?
I would love to disagree
with
you.
It's 3 month rule.
But yes,
but like
you're right. Wait
year.
12 months,
yeah.
You get the game for cheaper with all the DLC.
It's at a budget price. It's got all the add-ons. Probably whatever crippling DLC, DRM that was in there for PC versions has been removed. You know, it just makes you think, wow, why do I bother buying it now? Because I've still got to buy more of it to come. Getting a bit annoyed with it all, to be honest. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway,
Borderlands, yes.
I finished the Fort Knox, General Knox mission line, which was the last DLC.
All right.
And started the new Claptrap one.
Uh-huh.
They sent Claptrap, a ninja Claptrap, to deal with you. And unfortunately, he looked at the way Claptraps are being treated and has organised a revolution.
Oh, my God. I like the Claptraps. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I couldn't really care less about Moxie or General Noxes or whatever, but an expansion based entirely on Claptraps, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Next, Formula One 2010.
Oh, yeah. How are you going there? How's your season progressing?
Yes, it's going slowly.
I've heard you talking about it a lot, and it all sounds like work to me.
Well, it's a technical racer, I would say. It's definitely not an arcade racer.
Yeah.
It's a game which...
Fun? I don't think
so. No, it is fun, but you get the fun by doing the perfect lap. It's one of the... If you like racing games where, more so than just about any of the other racing games I've ever played, it really does reward you for driving properly, driving really well. And when you pull together a series of corners perfectly, and you get your maximum time through them, you don't spin off, which is quite a big thing, you really do feel a sense of accomplishment.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's quite a brave line to take, really, isn't it? Because sooner or later, you'd set out and decide to make a racer, but sooner or later, you're going to decide to sacrifice realism for fun.
Yeah.
But to just try and keep the realism going as far
this
as possible.
This is not a game for casual race fans, mm-hmm. but if you do like race games...
Well, there must be a market for it.
Yeah, there is.
Well, for a start.
No, it was the best-selling game for a week in the UK.
So some people...
It beat Halo Reach.
A lot of people do want something that's actually a very close approximation of the real thing, rather than just some... I don't know, abstract
kart racer.
Game. Yeah, well, kart racer.
Kart racer with fancy graphics.
Well, yeah, ultimately.
Yeah.
It's the opposite end of the scale.
Yeah. It got me thinking about Gran Turismo as to whether or not it's going to give me the same feeling of driving quality and driving ability.
Are they going to have an ultra-realistic mode?
Well,
or whatever?
I'm just wondering whether or not it can compete with that feeling, because in a Formula One car, it's very specific. You're very well planted to the road, you're low down, you've got massive grip, and it does feel different. And I'm just wondering whether or not it's Gran Turismo
just being able to recreate
anything to compare
that
with that
different feel on a computer game. Yeah. It's quite an achievement in itself.
So if you do like racing games, driving games for the driving and not just for, you know, the arcadey side, I really do recommend the Formula One game.
Right.
Individual race weekends take a while, though. Mm. Even on the lowest level, you've got to do one practice session, one qualifying, and one race.
And the race is what, about 70 laps?
No, it pulls down to about 3. You can pull it all. If you pull everything all the way down, it comes down to about 3.
It doesn't actually have real time durations for Formula One race.
You can.
Yeah.
You can have it so you've got the 3 practice sessions, the 3 qualifying sections, and the full race distance if you want.
Blimey.
I've not done that
yet. Because you don't want to spend, what, how long would that take?
Each practice session's about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I think. Qualifying, 20 minutes for the first, 15 for the second, 10 for the third, depending on if you qualify for the third qualifying session.
Uh-huh.
Then the race would be about 2 hours.
2 hours. You're gonna get finger cramps, really, aren't you? Thumb's going to go.
I will say that in the practice sessions, I have wandered off to see what's on TV or gone to get a drink or something, which I don't think's ever happened. In the history of Formula One, no Formula One driver has ever got out of his car, wandered off to grab a beer during the practice session.
Probably not, no.
I'm going to be the first in the real Formula One as well.
Yeah, if any Formula One teams are listening, John is available.
Right, also, Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, that's old and busted.
It came out on Xbox.
Okay.
Works quite well. Still don't see why it's not better than the iPad version, which is the best version ever.
I imagine a controller's going to be hard work no matter how they do
it. It's not hard work. It works quite well. It really does work well.
Compared to a mouse, though, or a touchscreen?
I would say it's comparable to a mouse, but to a touchscreen, nothing can touch it.
Fair enough.
Pun intended.
Hey.
Because you just can't beat, for some games, a touchscreen. Mm. But we saw that with Flight Control HD.
Yeah.
Move works really well as a mouse, but touchscreen is better.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's see what's next. More on plots. Sports Champions. Yes, I've been playing Sports Champions on the
PS3. Saw this a year ago. This is your big sport...
Yeah,
vehicle for Move, really, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, for Sony.
Yes, it's Wii Sports for Move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will point out that I've only played 2 of the games on it.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been bothered with the others, which is the Gladiator 1 and the Archery.
Mm.
Now, I should also point out, those are 2 areas which I do have real-world skills.
Ah.
So,
arch and fence with the best of them.
I have a sword and I have a bow and arrow to kill people with.
You're just like Errol Flynn figure, really.
Yeah. Mm. Now, the sword fighting is okay,
mm-hmm.
but it really falls down. You've only got certain swipes. The swipes take too long. You can't counter properly.
Yeah.
You can't really bluff people. And you basically either aim for the head, the middle, or the legs.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't. It's not flowing fighting. It's quite disappointing.
I suppose the bluff aspect of it, something I hadn't even thought about. Yeah, you need a reactive opponent who can fall for feints and things.
Which
is going to be very difficult.
It's
peripherals notwithstanding.
It's a very by the numbers thing.
Yeah,
and it's incredibly easy because it is by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The archery, on the other hand,
is
nothing like real archery. They make you do the movements and everything, but no, it just doesn't feel like archery.
Well, I think it's the question of feedback, isn't it? Physical feedback. I mean, for archery, you've got a really really tight string yeah. pulling hard at you so that you get an idea of tensions and forces.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And probably with the swords, yeah, when you clang against another sword or hit a person with it, you're going to get a...
I did try that with the swords.
Yeah?
I did duct tape... This is the Dead Rising 2 coming out. I duct taped my move controller to my sword.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. So at least the weight was good, I suppose. But
yeah, it,
but you're still chopping at the air.
And, I'm still chopping at the air. Yeah. There's furniture problem. Well, what a problem.
They need to do a peripheral, which is a big stuffed dummy that hangs from a USB detector of some sort.
Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, both of them very, very disappointing as someone who does both those sports. And
okay. I imagine out of our listenership, a very small percentage of them actually do swords and archery.
No, I bet a reasonable percentage of people listening own a sword.
We'd love to hear from you. But own a sword in an ornamental sense and actually go out in the moors and cleave Minotaurs' heads off at the weekends sort of thing.
You don't have to cleave Minotaurs' heads, they're endangered.
All right. Anyway, so as a game, sort of just stepping back from the historical accuracy of it all a little, is it fun? Is the activity in itself interesting?
Yes, I'm actually enjoying playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks as a party game.
Really?
Yeah, it does
that
not
surprises
work
surprises me, actually, because I would have thought that was kind of the reason these sorts of things exist.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to work. It's lacking that something. But as a single player, okay, people may be watching you play, you're not doing it competitively against someone. It sort of does work.
Oh, okay.
Right, yes, okay. This is where it gets a bit weirder.
Hmm.
There is a History Channel, a series of games, and I got Great Battles Medieval.
Yeah, I saw you add this, and that was the first I'd ever seen or heard of it. I'd never heard... I mean, obviously, I don't follow console games quite as closely as yourself.
It's
but
not a highly publicised game, no.
No, it's like I'm absolutely out of nowhere, this thing. Now, okay, so basic premise then, what are we talking...
It should be pointed out that the reason why I got this game is I am somewhat of a...
You're a bit of a history buff.
Yeah, and medieval would be my... era of choice.
My era of choice is Renaissance Italy around the 1500s.
I thought you were with the Victorians.
No. I'm bored of them now, and I'm bored of the Crusades as well now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, basically, this is a RTS.
Yep.
Based on the hijinks that ensued when we invaded France.
Oh, right. 100 Years' War?
Yeah.
Ah, see, I know a thing.
And it's reasonably historically accurate.
Yeah.
It's a grid-based system where you move pieces one at a time. So it feels like chess where
turn-based
you
turn-based strategy.
Not though. Really.
No?
Everything's running together, but you can't group select stuff and move it. You have to say, select this unit, move it, select this move it.
Ooh.
Unit.
Ooh.
Which ooh, does, I'm on... doesn't...
Yeah.
It works because there's... If you don't have a... formation system, you can't do group select and move because you don't want your archers ahead of your spearmen.
No,
for instance.
Makes sense.
And if you had the formation system, it would be limiting you on what you could do with your maneuvers. And I started off thinking, oh, this is really nasty, don't like this. Yeah. And after a while, I was thinking, hang on, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without this.
Mm.
Which is going to turn an awful lot of people off. And actually, if I was to look at your achievements and see where I stand on the leaderboards for the site for the game...
True achievements being a sort of third-party second opinion on the Xbox achievements.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
And if we have a look at this, if the site will actually load, we'll see that I am...
Do they often give less points than Microsoft do for an achievement?
I don't think it ever goes below the Microsoft
because I
notice
your true achievement score is much higher than your official score.
What it does is it takes all the people on the sites who have the achievement and weights all the achievement values based on that.
That should have been 120 for that, not 50.
Well, so basically if it's a 50-point achievement which no one's got, it'll be a lot higher.
Hmm.
But if it's a 50... If it's a 5-point achievement, which everyone's got, it'll be 5.
Uh-huh.
And we could... Oh, no, I've been knocked down to 7.
No.
Oh, I've been knocked down to 7th. I shall have to get some more achievements.
So, presumably, there's only, like, 15 people in the world who've got this game.
Oh, it's up to 15. It was only 11 yesterday. This is the true achievements people who've got it. I don't know if it's out in America. I don't know what.
Yeah, not getting competitive at all, though.
But I am
You found an obscure enough game to be highly ranked worldwide at this one. Fantastic.
Oh, there's a gaming session to get the online achievements in 10
anyway.
Minutes. I'm really enjoying it way more than I thought. The reason why I got it was, again, for the RTS thing I'm looking at, I needed to play it. Basically, okay. I need to know what it was doing. But I didn't expect to actually be enjoying it so much.
Right. So presumably its big thing is how historically accurate
yeah.
it is.
It's got
are
clips.
You seeing that?
I think I am. It's hard to tell when it comes down to the actual combat how accurate it is, because I've never
actually...
You need
to get a game in there somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, but... I've never actually run a medieval battle with that many people. But the equipment seems valid. Mm. The options all for it seem valid. The way that you think people should work seems valid.
How they've implemented statistics, things yeah. like movement speeds and ranges, yeah. and that, they all seem fairly
yeah.
accurate.
You can level up your people. They get experience by killing other people. Archers, really effective.
Yeah.
Until they start getting shields, then you better go and stand people with swords. And yeah, it does work really well. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of our listeners have got it. I doubt it. But if anyone does,
so
I'll
I
be up to the multiplayer.
This is to historical battles what the F1 thing is to
yeah.
racing. It's,
yeah.
this is, again, this is up the hardcore and quite realistic and
yeah.
not, you know, yeah, supposed to be fun, but not at the expense of the history sort of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's...
Probably not for everyone, then.
No, definitely not for everyone. Mm. I don't know if there's going to be this cut-off point where it just isn't expensive enough to keep people interested in the long term.
Well, ultimately,
which
there was
possible.
One war in history that this is representing, and that war went a certain way. And, you know, I mean, you can probably vary it up by changing some of the conditions
well,
a bit. But
well, I don't know if it's got the legs... For even for the multiplayer that says something like StarCraft.
Most likely to be a standalone thing. Yeah, but you'd expect probably the people that made this to then do one about the Romans.
There have been various other games. This is by a company called Slytherin, who only have this one at the moment.
Well, it's called Great Battles Medieval. I expect we'll see Great Battles Roman and Great Battles
I don't know.
Sparta. And
I
whatever.
Would hope so. It depends on if people buy it. But
yeah.
I am quietly impressed by what this is. And
just surprised to see it, boom, right there on the Xbox. Though,
the only
the box
publicity
release
I saw for it was The Guardian. They
yeah.
did a piece.
Yeah, well, and something of this sort of nature you'd more normally expect to find in the indie arcade
yeah.
or whatever.
Now, it's a cheaper game. It yeah. was 20 something quid, I think, off Amazon. So it doesn't hurt the bank really to get it.
Yeah.
And if you do like historical battle-y stuff, I think it's worth a look. It does have it's got some rough edges. And I have had a couple of crashes, one of which I don't know whether or not it was the fact that I'm running the new beta Xbox UI, or the fact that Sean Schuster from Massively logged on at that particular moment. I suspect it was his fault.
Destroyer of worlds.
Yeah. But then it crashed. The bump, his gamer tag has logged on, popped up, and it crashed. I want to blame him.
See, I honestly can't remember a time when my 360 has crashed.
I tend to get it in smaller games. This Darkstar 1 crashed.
I mean, this is
one
of the main
well.
Reasons you get a console over a PC, is you expect the thing to be bomb-proof.
They still do crash. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more rare than it was on a PC, especially when you're looking at the second tier, to be generous, games.
Double A games, I suppose you call
less
them.
Less than AAA games.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, there's not a lot more I can say about it, really. It's
right.
quite good. And yes,
it does what it sets out to do very well, by the sounds
yeah.
of it.
And the fact that I'm really describing this badly is why I've been doing the thing that I'm doing.
Fine.
Right, okay. And finally...
What else have we got?
All right, there's two more games. There's yeah. Enslaved Odyssey to the West, which we saw at Eurogamer.
Oh, you went and bought that, did
yeah.
you? Okay.
Well, I will buy anything that's got the Monkey Myth in it.
Well, yeah. Andy Serkis is cool, too. So,
big box of monkey over there, for instance.
Oh, crikey. Yes. So,
yes.
So we learned almost nothing about it at Eurogamer with our brief look over shoulder.
You can't learn anything about game at Eurogamer. Unreal 3 engine game.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I told you there was one.
Unreal.
Very gorgeous looking.
Mm-hmm.
You are Monkey, who's played by Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed every character Andy Serkis plays that's CG is a lot beefier than he is, or a lot scrawnier, because, you know, you've got Gollum, yes, but then you've also got, say, a giant monkey or a big guy with
muscles. Plays a wide variety of roles.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's in a film of Simon Pegg's in.
He was Ian Dury in that film about Ian Dury.
I meant to see that. That was meant to be really good.
Yes. He has quite a range.
I do like him as an actor, actually.
Fair enough.
Yes. I appreciate his works. Basically, you're on a slave ship. You crash in New York in the far future, a couple hundred years future or whatever. It's all overgrown and destroyed and looks rather gorgeous, I'd say.
Oh.
And there's mechs all over the place.
It's Earth. Damn it, you blew it all to hell.
You clipped the Statue of Liberty on the way in.
Planet of the Apes moment, awesome. Get that out of the way very early on. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the ship just clips the torch. Uh-huh. Yeah, and basically it's a run around, hit people type third person game. Mm-hmm. You've got the wimpy lady girl that you've got to carry around, but she's put this slaver's headband on your head,
mm-hmm.
and she's forcing you to take her to her family.
Right.
And if you get too far away from her or don't do what she says, it kills you.
Yep.
She's not my favourite person.
No. Yeah.
And I know the game's going to wimp out to make it a bit more sympathetic and you're going to like her by the end.
It's a buddy movie, isn't it?
I just know it's going to go that way. Yeah. Yeah, but at the moment, I'm really hating her.
Fair enough.
In fact, my character's threatened to snap her neck once.
Right.
Yeah. She asked, what's the first thing that's going to... What were you going to do after I take that thing off your head and you basically
twists
snap your neck?
It and squeezes it.
Yeah. I'm sure he hates that.
I do other stuff, you know.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. There's mm-hmm. lots of mechs all over the shop. You can sneak around and
giant
avoid
robots.
Yeah, you can sneak around and avoid fights if you want, or you can actually do them and get your points to upgrade with, which is always the problem in these games.
Oh.
You can avoid fights if you want, but you might as well kill stuff because then you'll get the points needed to upgrade your abilities.
No one ever leveled up by stealthing up, no.
No. Yeah, and... Well, what can I say? It's good. Yes, I like it. I saw the first play review of it, which is the PS3's UK video magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And they reviewed that in Castlevania, which I'll talk about in a minute. But for each one, they're saying, oh, it's a bit like Uncharted 2, but not. Yeah.
We found our yardstick.
Yeah, uh-huh. The PS3 review scene seems to be, it's a bit like Uncharted 2 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only played a couple of levels on that, but it was rather enjoyable. I'll skip the MMO for now. I'll skip that because I haven't played it for more than 2 minutes. That's Castlevania, Lords of Shadows.
Yeah, I remember you being a bit nonplussed and indifferent.
I'm still nonplussed and indifferent about
when we saw it a
year ago, but I needed to play it.
So you went and bought it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they see you coming, don't they? You dress it all up as some intellectual exercise and then just go out and buy everything.
I'm doing it for our listeners.
Ah, yes.
I need to do it.
You're taking one for the team, well done.
Yes.
I do appreciate it. So what's it like?
God of War.
Right. God of War, but with more werewolves. Is there werewolves in God of War? I bet there probably is. Fights everything else.
Okay, to be fair, it's a bit more Dante's Inferno.
Okay, which is quite God of War.
Which was very God of War. I haven't found a single original idea in there.
Oh, that's a shame.
Do you know the two standout features so far?
It's got vampires, probably.
Patrick Stewart, Robert Carlyle.
Patrick Stewart? Oh, dear.
Oh, we've got to talk about that as well. It's not on this show. Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Blimey. Taking a break from theatre.
Yeah, Castlevania, I've got nothing good to say about it at the moment, apart from the fact that it's just a God of War clone.
Oh, okay.
It's enjoyable, but there's nothing there to stand out. It's been getting some really good review scores, so 9 out of 10s, and I don't see why.
Hmm. I might as well just go get God of War 3 then instead.
Well, if you like God of War, then yeah, you're going to love this. Mm. But yeah, it just... I like my games to bring something new.
Like brooding anti-hero with exotic whip sword weapons.
He's got
things.
A cross like in Dante's Inferno.
Oh, right. And just leaping about on the back of giant monsters every now and then. And
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll see when I get further in it, but it's like Medal of Honor. I've got no interest in Medal of Honor at the moment either because I don't see what it brings. It's new.
Well, yeah. Have they not taken it to the next level?
No.
11 or something?
No.
Okay. You're going to get it anyway, though, aren't you?
I'm actually thinking of avoiding Medal of Honor.
Really?
I don't think I need yet another shooter like that.
If John won't buy your game, then there's something really wrong with
it. Yeah. Mm. Some people who saw it at Eurogame were saying, yeah, that looks brilliant. I wasn't going to buy it before. But I barely noticed it.
It barely registered, to be honest, in a room full of similar-looking games.
I didn't see anything there that didn't say, you're going to be buying the new... the thingy game.
No, because you took one look and then turned around and saw tickers being blown up in Gears 3.
I did, didn't I? Yeah.
So that's your purchasing calendar sorted.
There's the latest Treyarch thingy game, Call of Duty game. That's the thing I was going for, which I will be buying.
Ah.
So I don't see why I need the modern Medal of Honor as well. It just doesn't fit now. Why now?
Someone's going to lose out, I think.
Yeah, I played. Okay, moving on to an MMO.
Go, MMO.
Two MMOs.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Star Trek Online.
Yeah. Two MMOs. Go on then, Star Trek Online. What are you doing in Star Trek Online? I thought that was old and busted and no one interesting or cool played it anymore.
This is a bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
Leveling up enough to get my second ship.
You're still in your newbie ship.
I was, yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but you don't really, you're not a big MMO player, to be honest.
I put in a couple of hours a month, and I enjoy
it. Which ought to be enough, to be honest. That's something wrong with MMOs, not you.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. No, the game's fine. The game has supported me doing this, and, you know,
it's there for you when you're ready.
Yeah,
I
jump in when I want the combat, basically. When I want the space combat, I jump in and play for a couple of hours.
Do you avoid ground missions like the plague?
No, I still do them, although I just don't enjoy them.
You know, Pirates of the Burning Sea syndrome,
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah. The space combat is still excellent. Mm. And the game is getting better and better each time I go back.
Lots of new stuff going in?
Yeah.
Interesting and attentive.
I need to start
doing
the weekly episodes because they're meant to be brilliant.
Right.
They do series of weekly episodes where they just have these big events.
Set yourself a few hours a week.
Yeah, I should do that. When they start up again,
I'll
get
to join into those. Regular game thing,
Well, you don't even need to do that. It'll dynamically group you.
Yeah, but it's better with friends, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but...
He's pouncing now.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
I'll grab John and Matt or something.
Yeah.
And the other one, my final game, Lego.
Lego Universe.
Lego Universe.
Wow.
New
MMO.
I meant to put it in
Cutting Edge
on the 8th when it launched. But Minecraft came along. I only put it in today.
Everything stops for Minecraft.
It does.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I didn't do much. I heard the Patrick Stewart opening narration.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Stewart has been every game this week. He's not in the Star Trek game.
No. What? He's not.
He was in every game I played except the Star Trek game, basically.
He's in Lego Universe, but not Star Trek Online. Yeah. Right.
It's all wrong.
Hang on. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So Lego, what's he doing? Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, not a lot to say about Lego yet, except to say I am playing it.
Presumably is NDA, is it?
No. It's in its pre-release bit now.
Oh, this is preview.
Yeah.
Head start.
For those of us who are in the beta, who pre-ordered it, we actually get a quite nice couple of weeks a head start.
Okay. Right. Well, so no NDA then.
I believe so.
Right. So you can now talk about your beta experiences of Lego Universe, which you've been doing secretly for the last couple of months.
I guess I could do.
Yeah,
vaguely aware
about
that
it.
Somebody from the publisher is on the show next week, probably. Okay. actually, I've got very little to say about the beta.
You got a little. Obviously, it's a beta. You'd expect things to be going wrong, etc., etc. But on the whole.
I would have released months ago if I was them.
Really?
Yeah. I was quite. It was purely content, I believe, that was holding them back.
Generally, in my experience, I tend to avoid betas anyway, but I know enough about them. And you get two sorts. You've got the sort where, the sort you're describing, and the sort where everyone who's beta testing it has gone onto the forums about 2 months before it was launched and said, this is not ready, don't launch,
and
are ignored.
In my opinion, it's been ready to launch for ages. It's been pretty stable. It's had its odd issue.
Yeah.
But nothing, in my professional opinion, as a developer.
Have we seen any massive design reworks during that time?
Or
has they thought of a good idea from the word go and just developed it well?
They've had a good idea from the word go and kept going.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it
more
on
the
future.
Yes, in the next
what
we're playing, I will have a proper talk about it, because I don't really want to talk too much about
it. Sounds like one of the more stable MMOs
rather than
launches
what
we've seen for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see when the floodgates open on public launch.
Yeah.
Whether they have the usual teething troubles and whatever, but interesting. Sounds promising, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah. Something to talk about next time, then.
That's probably it for the computer games.
Right. Yeah. Shall we talk a bit about Zombie Dice?
Zombie Dice.
Yeah. So Zombie Dice annoys me. A new feature about normal, proper games that you don't need a computer for.
Zombie Dice really annoys me. Do you know why?
Why?
It should be more complicated. A game like that shouldn't be fun.
We pop round Zozo's house there for a bit of actual proper gaming.
Yeah.
With games and stuff, and tried a few titles.
Games and people and stuff.
And it was great. Zombie dice then. You have a little tub. I think there's 13 dice in there.
They've
got a shotgun blast and a brain and some feet on the faces. You throw 3 dice and you keep your brains on your shotgunses. And the idea is to get as many brains as you can before you get 3 shotguns. And then you have to pass the dice on to the next person.
Or ideally, you won't get 3 shotguns.
If you get 3, you've lost in that round. And yes, first, you just keep going around until someone gets 13 brains. Very good, very clever, very simple.
Very simple.
But fun.
Shockingly
simple. Remarkable. Yeah, you don't need elaborate rules and huge tables and source books and stuff. Although, speaking of elaborate rules and source books, we were playing The Uncharted Seas.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, so we're giving that a go. We've got the source book and the paper counters there. I probably think you do want the actual... You probably want the resin models they sell there.
Oh, yes. They're really nice. They're
very good
models.
Ones. Yeah, they're looking better painted, I think. I'm going to get a fleet, I think. So, yeah, big naval turn-based battle. You move your squadrons of ships along with rulers and turning templates and firing dice.
Yeah.
And throwing dice to shoot at people and stuff. Again, simple enough concept. I think if anyone's played Games Workshop's Manowar, which I think is out of publishing
at incredibly
the moment,
out of print, yeah.
That was a while ago. It's basically that game, but elaborated on and developed out by a third party.
Yeah.
Somehow not being sued for. Excellent. I'm going to get play more of that, I think. So, and what else do we play? Oh, Monty Python Flux. We've talked about Flux before when there was a zombie one.
Monty Python Flux has one major problem.
It has a card called Stop. What was it? Stop Singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The major problem with this is Zozo himself. Who knows the words to every song and can do them in a silly accent?
You cannot out Monty Python, Zozo, no. So he did quite well at that.
His poor wife was looking quite
end,
a strain. Yes. Yes, I won in the end because I actually played with tactics.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to step on the limited edition podcast toes too much. But
we might as well. We're stealing one of their people next week.
We might talk a bit more about some of our real game adventures in the future, what we're playing shows as well. Just to show we have lives other than computer games.
Oh, I played Settlers of Catan on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Any good?
It's Settlers of Catan, yeah.
I've never played it, so I've no idea.
I've got the board game, but I'll take it on to the next session.
Shall we get on with the Twitter question?
Oh, we should play.
Did we even do one? I think I thought, well, you forgot, didn't we?
No, I did one.
You did one? Okay,
I did one, yes.
Excellent.
You would know if you ever wrote your Twitter account.
My Twittering has really died off a bit, to be honest, yeah. I need to buy some kind of flashy phone that does tweeting or something.
Get
back in the game.
Ready?
Yes, go for it.
You asked.
I asked.
Who are your game dev heroes?
Ah, right.
I thought you came up with a brilliant question there.
Thank you.
You even asked it earlier in the week to try and get more responses.
Uh-huh. All right, then. So what did people reply to me?
Right. Kudesnik said John Carmack and Turbine.
John Carmack? Is he the ID?
Id.
Id.
Yes. Yes,
yeah, Doom.
Yeah. A very clever guy. He's tweeting now.
Was he the Daikatana fella as well, or was that the other one? I always get there's two of them, isn't there?
That's the other one.
That's the other one, right, fair enough.
Blah, blah, blah. Welsh Troll said, Julian Gallup for enhancing my teen years, followed by Melissa Bianco, whose City of Hero editions are funny and bring new life to things.
Aha, excellent.
Terrasastic says, I don't subscribe to Rockstar Game Devs. That's because he's not going to be one at the moment. He's looking at jobs outside the games industry.
Oh dear.
Shocking.
Shattered dreams.
I do respect Dr. Muzianka and Zeshuk. I can't remember how to spell their names.
The chaps at BioWare.
Yes, exactly. For Baldur's Gate 2 et al.
Yeah.
Kudesnik, and he just wanted to agree with Tokastic. I've got this set to the real names, Jobby, so keep talking for a second.
Hello, yes. Well, I mean, personally, I'd agree with Teppo there, to be honest. I don't really go in for the developers themselves are heroes type of thing. I appreciate their work immensely, but it's sort of built, you know, the cults of personality sort of thing, the idea that nothing a particular person can do will ever be bad, you know. I mean, it's sort of, well, fanboyism, isn't it? I mean, yeah, judge the studio, but then even studios change. Sorry,
they do,
can
yeah.
I stop filling
you
that?
Can stop filling that.
Okay,
yeah, it's okay. I've changed the settings so I can actually see real you. Lost Ludwig said Runic Games.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do they do?
You put I'm listening to people who've obviously just come in downstairs and are making noises.
Right.
Layla Turkey says, my game dev heroes are the community managers who have the job of dealing with all of us fussy gamers.
You couldn't pay me enough to be a community manager.
You couldn't pay me enough to be a community manager either. Doc Chaos, ex-Planetside lead, Alex Samhain von Minden, for having the balls to defy SOE when they wanted him to break the game. Granted, he did so by publicly quitting the company, and they went ahead and broke the game anyway.
By broke the game, they're either talking about Core Combat or the big robots.
I don't know.
Probably have to look that up. Yeah.
Scott Hartsman and the original EQ2 team. Ackley. That was Gaz Rooney. Ackley says David Braben and Ian Bell. And he even thought he needed to put Elite there. Dr. Richard Bartle. Yes. And Peter Molyneux. Yes, because he thinks like no other. and Infocom.
Infocom. I agree with all those early people. Text-based adventure stuff.
Yeah. As Gar says, I don't have an acceptable answer. Tolkien, massive Valve fanboy reporting in. Carmack, it's Rage Engine Man, is pretty cool. And there are some War and X-War devs. Carmack did more than just the Rage Engine, to be fair. There's that whole Doom, you know.
Yeah.
You got to kill him in Doom.
Is it Doom? Or was it Quake?
He was in Doom.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Saint Mistaken, Dave Braben. And obviously CCP's over there for epic space Vikingness.
Legendary drinking by all counts.
Then there's some talk about Let's Play Games on Thursday, which we did. Jason Etheridge, Blizzard's Greg Ghostcrawler Street for his campaign to make the WoW forums provide useful feedback for the devs.
Ooh, there's an uphill struggle.
Yeah.
Putting it mildly, yeah.
Dr. Tyrag, my dev hero is Warwitch, the lead dev in City of X these days. He started off as office manager, but got better.
Wow.
Tiger Ears, Andrew Braybuck, Jeff Minter, and David Braben. Lots of individual creativity. Mm. Jeff Minter's brilliant.
Mm.
I especially like Jeff Minter because I asked a question about Ninja Warrior and he answered.
Excellent.
I'd ask him to be on the show, but I know that anything that he's on, it's like with Bartle. Anything they say gets completely misrepresented by the media and completely blasted, and I just don't agree with the way the media treats them.
Fair enough.
Molyneux is pretty much the same as well, but Molyneux knows what he's doing.
We've mocked Molyneux before, and I do feel bad, yes.
Debart says Sid Meier.
Oh, yeah.
David Braben and Paradox Entertainment for titles like Europa Universalis and Hearts of Iron. Elsif says, the ones that follow their own goals, the independents. Talking of which, there's one downstairs now making noise still.
Keep going.
The problem with when I do this earlier on in the week.
I thought you were going to have trouble with that.
Custodian V131. These jump to mind. Sid Meier, fan since RRT and Civ 1. Steve Bracier, Master of Magic. Mark Jacobs for Dark Age of Camelot.
Master of Magic, brilliant.
MMO. And that would be it. Yes.
I'd like to add the fellow who done Freelancer and Wing Commander and Privateer and stuff.
Chris Roberts.
Well, I knew you'd have the name. Yeah.
Yes, I'd agree with that, Chris Roberts. And I would also add in, I know people don't like him, but Lord British.
What, Richard Garriott?
Richard Garriott. He did an awful lot of good for... RPG games.
I think it's easy to, forget.
You can only think of him today, but you can think back to what he did for the 30 years before that.
He is more than just Tabula Rasa and Crazy Space Adventures.
The entire Ultima games.
Defining.
Yeah, all MMOs owe everything to Ultima.
I don't know how much of EverQuest was being parallel developed or whether how much it was inspired or whatever.
Well, no, even so.
A massive contribution to the
Ultima
world
have been around since the late 70s. Yeah,
excellent. So, any other business?
There's new forums for the website.
Yeah, you've trashed our... Yeah, because we've had a bit of mockery for those.
Yes.
We've got real forums now. The website, didn't they?
We've got real forums now on a different website, but don't worry, in fact, it's on a different website. That will become clear later on.
I'm sure there will be links in the show notes.
Somebody needs to create a link, username of the new forums.
Yes.
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't tell you I was doing it.
I didn't even know what was going on. I'm so disenfranchised from this whole finger quotes Van Hemlock podcast these days. I really am.
Yeah. So go along there. Yep. It's hosted over at consoling.tv, which is something else which will become clear later.
Phase two of your master plan.
Yeah, phase two of my master plan. Yeah, that's all the forums. Brilliant, yes.
Excellent. So what did you learn this week?
I learnt that today is the 10th of the 10th of the 10th.
Ah.
Which, in binary,
yes,
is 42.
Wow, a day of great significance.
Yes.
And I learnt not to let orcs touch you, particularly at sea.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. They're very good at boarding.
Very, very
good
at
boarding. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.